Good day, I'm Jackie Judd with Health on the Hill. Congress has begun its Memorial Day recess, leaving behind some unfinished business related to health care legislation. To fill us in, Mary Agnes Carey, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News, and Julie Rovner of National Public Radio. Welcome to you both, as always.
Hello.
Julie, let's start with you. The House did vote on what's come to be known as the Doc Fix. Tell us what it was.
Well, this is the third time now this year that Congress has left for a recess without actually fixing this 21% cut in doctor payments under Medicare, meaning that it does technically go into effect today. Now, the Department of Health and Human Services Medicare officials say that they will start holding bills in hopes that Congress will fix this before the middle of the month, when actually they'll have to start paying these. And that's what happened the last two times. Of course, the House passed this bill on Friday. The Senate had already left, so it needed to be passed by the Senate also. And in fact, we have been warned by Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid that even though the House has passed this bill, the Senate is not likely to pass it in the form in which the House passed it. The Senate may have a lot of other things to do to it. It was not simply the doc fix that they did. This was part of a tax extenders bill. It had taxes and other spending, unemployment insurance extension in it too. So this is a much bigger bill.
Now, even though HHS says it's going to hold these claims for a period of time, are the medical associations up in arms?
They are furious. I mean, the fact that this is now going, you know, three times this year, this is a problem that dates back to 1997. It is what everybody agrees is a flawed formula. Congress has routinely put off these cuts since 2003. There's widespread agreement that we can't be cutting Medicare payment to doctors, and certainly not to 21%. Once they let this go into effect, it was a 5% cut. But ever since then, they've been saying, no, we've got to figure out how to fix it. No one's been able to figure out how to fix it. At one point last week in this bill, it was going to be a 5-year. They were going to put this basically off for 5 years, which presumably would give them time to figure out how to fix it. Now, because there was no agreement on how to pay for it, it's been shortened to only 19 months. So it's basically a 2%.
So we will be hearing about it again.
Oh, yeah,
very
we'll be hearing
soon.
About it again. This is not over yet.
Okay, Mary Agnes, two other issues the House also grappled with last week. One is Medicaid. The other is COBRA. Let's start with COBRA, which, of course, is the health insurance that is supposed to see people through a period of unemployment. What happened there?
Well, there was a discussion about extending this extra benefits through the end of the year. Again, very politically popular for a lot of folks because a lot of people are out of work. COBRA insurance is quite expensive, but ultimately it was taken out of the bill because we talked a little bit about this last week. Fiscal conservatives, the Democrats, the blue dogs in the House, were very concerned about the size of the bill. So why they want to come back later and perhaps, you know, look at this again and pass it, it was taken from the package.
As was infusion of funds from the federal
exactly.
government to the states for Medicaid.
For Medicaid. Now, a lot of state governors had planned on this money. It's been a lot of state legislatures that already counted on it in their budget. It was going to extend this additional FMAP Medicaid money through next June. But again, that was pulled back due to cost concerns. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she wants to return to both these measures and pass them.
Why does she think she can come back and all of the opposition from the blue dogs will be gone?
Well, it probably won't be gone. It will still be there. But I think that there will be a lot of pressure, especially from governors, Democratic and Republican governors, for example, that want the Medicaid mm-hmm. money back. Same thing for the COBRA extension to help people find coverage. She's talked about how all these bills, including the health care bill that passed, have been a really heavy lift in the House. It's not going to get any easier, that's for sure.
Julie, what Mary Agnes was talking about was more the short-term funding for Medicaid. There was an interesting study released last week by the Kaiser Family Foundation regarding the long-term funding of Medicaid.
There was. It was interesting. You know, there's 20 lawsuits now from the states arguing about the constitutionality of the health law. But one of the arguments in that lawsuit is that there would be basically this unfunded mandate regarding Medicaid because so many new people would be put on Medicaid. Well, the study last week from the Kaiser Foundation and the Urban Institute found that more than 95% on average of that cost would be paid by the federal government, that the states are saying, oh my goodness, we're going to have to pay so much money for Medicaid, and yet the vast, vast majority of that funding is going to be coming from the federal government. And unlike this money, the short-term money, which is just the federal government putting in an infusion, this money in the law will be coming from the federal government. So this isn't something that Congress will have to do later. This is something, money that the federal government has promised up front to the states.
As I mentioned at the top, Congress has gone home for the week. They will be back next week. What kind of messaging do both Republicans and Democrats bring to their home districts to either try to undermine parts of the health care reform law or prop it up?
Well, Democrats for sure are out there talking about this package of early deliverables, provisions in the bill such as you can keep an adult child on your health insurance policy up to age 26, help with to help companies who want to provide early retiree health coverage to give them some money towards that, or to have people in this high-risk pool if you've been uninsured for 6 months and need help. That will definitely be the message. As we know, a lot of the other provisions, the Medicaid expansion Julie's talking about, the health insurance exchanges don't kick into 2014. So I think the focus will be on what consumers could see right now in the bill that could help them.
And Republicans?
You know, there's been a lot of concern by supporters of the bill that the opponents of the bill have really taken over the marketplace of ideas, if you will, that supporters aren't doing a lot of talking about this, but that opponents are doing a lot of talking about this. Certainly the polls have not budged. There hasn't been the bounce that Democrats had hoped to see in terms of people having more approval of the bill. What we have seen, certainly, is that Democrats tend to like it and Republicans tend not to like it. That was kind of predictable. But generally, overall, you see kind of, you know, it's pretty evenly split, but certainly there hasn't been any budge in terms of more people approving of it. One thing we saw last week.
But they continue to like the peace parts of it.
Yes, they do continue to like the peace parts of it, but there really hasn't been this big, you know, now that it's starting to come into effect, there hasn't been this real bounce in terms of overall approval rating. And I think some people are saying that that's because the Republicans have really been out in force saying, we really don't like this. And they've got, you know, lots of new, there was a new bill last week introduced by the Republicans. They're not talking about repeal so much anymore as saying this is what we would do instead. So there's been a lot of, every time the Democrats come up with something, the Republicans come out against it, that there's been a lot of activity on the opposition side saying this is what we don't like about it. I think we also saw this last week, the Democrats, or not so much the Democrats, the Obama administration sent out to Medicare beneficiaries who've been very confused about a lot of this, how this would affect them.
The brochure.
Mary Agnes, I think, has the brochure, a four-page brochure, what this would mean to seniors. And Republicans were all over this, immediately saying that it was you know, inaccurate, that it was propaganda. And what's funny is that this really harkens back to a similar brochure the Bush administration sent out in 2004 about the new drug law that was passed mostly with Republican support.
So not to be dismissive of this from either side, but is it this more about political tit for tat than real meaningful substance?
It depends.
Or is it both?
It depends where one is coming from. It does bear a striking resemblance to the brochure that was put out in 2004. And depending on where you're coming from, you can make the argument that there's a lot of misleading information and that seniors deserve to have accurate information. One could say, if you really want to pick nits, that there are things that are a bit of a stretch. Back in 2004, the Republicans were, in fact, found guilty by the GAO of political propaganda, not so much for the flyer that was put out, but they were doing other things. They put out some video news releases that didn't actually say they were.
This brochure will go the same route?
I don't think this brochure will be found guilty of political propaganda, as the previous flyer was not. In fact, the previous flyer was found guilty of perhaps some, you know,
what I meant.
Yes. I think there'll be a lot of continued fight over it, but I think, you know, that it's in the eye of the beholder.
One final question before we close for the day, and that has to do with what Kathleen Sebelius said last week about that part of the new health care reform law allowing 26-year-olds, up to 26-year-olds, to stay on their parents' health insurance policies.
Right, exactly. She's asking employers to put these children on earlier than they have to, while the provision kicks in September, I think September 23rd, 6 months after the president signed the bill into law. Employers don't have to embrace this and put these kids on the policies until the beginning of the new plan year, which for a lot of employers is January the 1st. It could be even later. It's the beginning of the new plan year after, I believe it's the September 23rd. Is that right, Julie? So you have a lot of employers out there looking at this saying, I really really don't want to do the administrative costs, don't want to bother with the hassle, I don't have to do this. And so you have consumers going to their employers who are saying, now, wait a minute, I thought my son or daughter could be on my policy starting in September. The law allows that to not necessarily be the case. So, Secretary.
And you have the administration anxious to get it done because it would be an early, popular.
That's right.
Deliverable.
Exactly. And it's a real crowd pleaser, it seems to be. People really like this provision, and so they want employers to move forward. Secretary Sebelius said they're reaching out to all sorts of employers to get them to move faster on this provision, but the law doesn't require them to do so.
And the reason she did this is because of the survey that you were talking about before we started taping.
That's right. You know, what happened is that they got a lot of insurers to agree to do this early. The problem is 2/3 of the people who have insurance on the job are in what are called self-insured plans. So it's not the insurer who's making the decision about the benefits. It's the employer. And a recent survey done by the benefit consulting firm Mercer found that these self-insured, these large employers who are deciding the benefits, only about a quarter of them said they're going to start early. So even though you've got insurers, people who are in insurance plans where the benefits are decided by the insurer, most of the people are in plans where the benefit is decided by the employer, and the employers are not starting early, even though the insurers are. So it's a little bit confusing. If you're in a plan where the insurance company is making the decision, you may be lucky and you're going to get it early. But if you're in a plan, and 2/3 of the people are, where the employer is making the benefits decision, you're less likely to get it early.
Good. We understand now. Thank you very much. Thank you both. Julie Rovner, Mary Agnes Curie, thank you for joining us. I'm Jackie Judd, and this has been Health on the Hill.